This is Cyber Defense Radio with your host and cybersecurity champion, Annabelle Thomas. Annabelle brings to you another globally recognized cybersecurity executive in the hot seat today.
I'm your host, Annabelle Thomas, and today I'm honored to be joined by Ashley Monraj, the Chief Technology Officer at Pivotal Technologies. Pivotal is on a mission to make secure infrastructure the default, where security is built by design, not bolted on after deployment. Ashley, welcome back to the hot seat.
Thank you, Annabelle. Yeah, as mentioned, we are doing releases with a few customers, and we have a waiting list with InfraStream. We want to make sure that everything goes hyper smoothly until the big release beginning of next year, so January, February, where we want to make it available for everyone to be able to own infrastructure at a much lower cost without as much consulting.
Right. So, let's dive into that a little bit. I know Pivotal has been working on InfraStream. Can you walk us through what InfraStream is and what the core problems it's designed to solve for?
Essentially, there's kind of three big areas that are managed in infrastructure. There's the setting up of the cloud assets, like the databases and the resources. And then there's allowing the developers to deploy easily and securely and manage all the service accounts. So InfraStream has, instead of going pure AI for those, we wanted more predictability. So we have executors that sub-section themselves in order to make the solution live. And we try to make it so that they bug very, very little, less than 1% of the time, so that more citizen developers who don't understand well what's happening get configuration and get setups way faster. And so we want people to get to cloud ownership way better and not go towards the SaaSes, because experience in Europe, usually not owning the infrastructure or getting the data used, for example, when we use third-party code providers that do that kind of AI and bind, they can also be taking your source code. So we want people to instead own all the infrastructure, and we make it that a lot easier for our setups. We don't use as many templates. It's pre-built a lot more. And we do, through our executors, kind of that infrastructure as code setup, build and then deployment, and provide the tools to simplify all of those three of those aspects. So that's the objective. And then on top, we added a lot of agents so that the value to transition to the model is a lot more justified.
Right. And you mentioned there a lot about AI, automation, and agents. That's a big thing, if I think, nowadays. Can you talk a little bit more in depth about how that's being implemented within Pivotal Technologies? And also, how is that impacting the customers you're seeing?
The customers that are currently using our agents use it in very restricted and very specific ways, because we're deploying waves of agents in the client's private Google Cloud for now. And so we are seeing is that the agents need to be accurate, need to be well-defined. The behavior of the models need to be QA'd. So we have mostly developer-oriented flows right now for those agents, and we're starting to get to more employee flows. So in the sense that we help them manage a code better, we manage the security of the pipelines better, the security of deployments, security of a runtime, verification of the assets. So right now it's a lot more developer-oriented for the agents, and we're starting to do more like for business, is the billing always okay? For the agents, is the IAM structure good looking? Are there any issues? And then afterwards, we're going more towards employees because we do a cross correlation between GitHub, Google Workspace, and GCP. So we provide capabilities such as, do you have a good calendar? Do you want to have automated calendar setups? Do you want, so we're doing the heavy security aspects that you might find with NATEM, Make, the other agents, except we're tightly integrating with your security stack so that it's well managed instead of kind of managed as one-off in a SaaS. So our objective is to, instead of behaving like a lot of the other groups, where the thinking of how it's made at scale for your company is thought about like, let me do a SaaS, let me do a few customers at a time. Here it's more like you have 500 employees, I want to onboard all of them at the same time. Those are the intent of InfraStream. So we want people to migrate to the model. And once you migrate to the model, you benefit from all the plane of robot executors instead of doing it manually. So we don't completely remove employees or tech employees. We get them to maintain those agents instead of trying to maintain, for example, the older school deployments, the Kubernetes, the service accounts. We automate that so that they do it. So it's just 10 to 20% of their job, and they have to focus a lot more on the agents and maintain the agents, maintain the data, and maintain the capabilities for developers, maintaining the developer experience. That's one aspect, but usually it's for the medium and bigger corp. For the smaller corp, it's to allow them to get onto the cloud. Because if we want to have robot agents, like a lot of people are saying, we want to have robot agents in 5 years. What are we going to do about the 1 million corporations or more in the world that don't have any cloud, that are only using SaaSes that are super expensive? They're going to need a baseline. They're going to need somewhere to live for the debugging, the security, the management of those agents in case an agent makes a mistake, for example. We need to track that. So I think that's where we want to provide capabilities as well, is for those groups to own their own infra, own their own agents' data, and not rely systematically on SaaSes. So that's the other part we want to do with InfraStream, is kind of veer a bit the model of SaaS towards more cloud ownership. And that aligns a lot with what European groups are doing, and the groups in the Middle East or even Africa now that are trying to get onto the cloud in order to improve their ownership. The issue that they're often encountering is it takes quite a bit of money to find good cloud resources, even more so to make it very functional. And we want to provide those maintained paths for them through a high quality platform engineering solution. So that's what we're trying to do in InfraStream, is instead of going the consulting way of how to do things correctly at scale, how do you manage the, sorry, I'm going to be a bit more technical, but how do you manage your load balancer and then your internal load balancer and then your DNSs? Instead, we put it as a, what's your intent? What do you want to do? Do you want to deploy this workload there, routed in this fashion with this security? That's all we ask. Then we maintain the rest of the path of what needs to be configured along the path. So that's our that was our North Star when we talked last time about low ops. This concept evolved a bit more. We're saying it's still a form of low ops, but it's now represented more towards kind of a managed, we call it manifest driven now. So it's the manifest, those manifests that represent your intent, what communicates with what, and you don't need to understand afterwards Google Cloud or GitHub or Google Workspace. You specify those manifests, and then those manifests do it for you. And there's one advantage, is that we train agents that understand our manifest and also will help the end customers manage those manifests as well. So that's how we want to tackle the AI to infrastructure problem. It's not the AI doing absolutely everything. It's the AI helping the developer manage manifests that then manage the infrastructure. And so it's still your developers that understand the manifest and understand the infrastructure still have a lot of predictability, because a lot of groups going fully AI native, you can't really debug anymore. So your engineers have no difference between a junior and a senior who's more used to the product or more used to the issues. There's less difference when you go completely AI native. That's why we went for kind of a translation layer over executors. And also, the executors have one core property that most AI agents are not doing, is they sub-segregate themselves. So there's a top organizational level, and there's a business unit level, and there's project levels for security purposes, because we didn't want to remake the mistakes of the past 10 years where a subpart compromises the whole company. Instead, it goes from top to bottom, and the information never flows back up. So it prevents compromission. It prevents service accounts from using that fashion. So we have a waiting list currently, and we're onboarding. We've onboarded quite a few customers, and we want to make sure that it works for more domains. Right now, we're, I think, in 7 or 8 different business verticals. We want to expand that to make sure it covers most technical use cases. So that's where we're currently going. We do think that it's going to make a big difference for the groups that do want to own infrastructure, because the other groups are going more towards templates, whereas we're going more for cross integrations. So they're going for golden paths, we're going more for intents. So the difference is when you're going for a golden path, you still need to understand and debug if things go wrong or if things need to be maintained. Whereas when you go for the intent, it's a bit harder to maintain for us. But then the developer or the people get a more maintainable infrastructure. For example, you say what talks to what, you don't know which technologies we're using, or did we even change in the middle? But we represent your best intent. This should only be talking to this across all the new generation services, and we're enabling new generation features. That's the difference between intent-based with what we call manifest-driven, and a lot of the other groups calling it golden paths. And the golden paths are require engineers or way more engineering, way more maintenance. But we think that's what people want to get rid of. They want better security, not to care about the underlying technologies. And so that's why we went for them, what we call manifest-driven.
Right. And I think that's a key thing for a lot of organizations that you talk about as the manifest driven. Can you explain a little bit more about that and how that's tailored to the organizations, especially as you're talking about organizations or customers that you have in different verticals, different industries, but also organizations of different size? How does that tailor to them?
So that's one of the, you're completely right. That's one of the key concepts. Essentially, the idea of a manifest is when you go to the core concepts, we're using the same cloud tools. We're just using different security layers, different levels of isolation, different base networking, and going for the manifest driven that are more compact and smaller, we can compose them to make out bigger organizational units and bigger corporations. But by taking the most secure approach for the networking and the runtime, there's way less difference between, let's say, a high-end security retail group or a hospital group using the best available networking practices. And let's say there's only one level difference would be ITAR and military. But as from there and downwards, they all use the exact same practices in factually. And so by using the best cloud native and not private cloud native, not gov cloud, we do make all those groups benefit from the same security, advanced security practices, easy to configure, easy to onboard. You just need to migrate to the manifest driven instead of the old school, kind of manually typed with a lot of engineers. Of course, there's another concept that we introduced, which is way less scripts. Also, that was for initially security purposes. So we removed a lot of the small scripts that the developers have to always remake in continuous integration, a lot of the scripting in the continuous deployment, a lot of the IAM and database or buckets or all those resources. That's another core concept of manifest-driven is developers, we want them to focus on the intent and on the maintenance and on the output instead of focusing as much on the nitty-gritty. We take care of those layers so that they don't have to maintain it as much. So, for example, they specify that they want a build pipeline for 10 different languages and how they want to configure them. We try to support as best as we can 12 or 14 languages and all the configs for those languages. And so they get a good experience and it's maintained. They no longer have to, let's say we do a new project, we have to go and maintain the older projects, or the developers need to maintain the infrastructure. So we want the delineation between kind of a platform engineering developer and the actual developers to be way separate. They don't have to maintain, and our product does way more of the platform engineering. So they get a really high quality experience as if a platform engineering group is really world grade. That's what we're trying to do. And all those developers get to benefit from all that standardization. And so they can't complain, oh, this doesn't work well, those scripts are not well made. It's just the question for them is, does that group support all our languages and all our deployments needed? If yes, and we don't use any alpha features, because But the only thing we can't do is be even better than your cloud. So we do alpha and beta features, but we can't do things that are super edge. We're trying to, but we can't always be, because it still takes us 2 months to make sure that all the cross integration work. But that's the only use cases that where we have a bit of clients can still complain, or let's say the really super high-end AI groups want to use absolutely all the latest feature the week it gets out. That we can't do because we have to maintain all the cross integrations. We have to make sure that all the features are used well. But otherwise, all the others, all the big patterns you want to use, the databases and all the features of the databases that we do provide.
Okay. And now that's awesome. But one of the things you mentioned that I want to dive a little bit deeper in is the cross integrations and the integrations that the Pivotal has with everything going on. Can you talk a little bit more about how this integrates with organizations'
So
stacks?
usually when we're doing simple releases, the groups, they have a lot of tooling to help them deploy one single asset. And they have a lot of SaaSes that allow you to do that. But what we wanted to enable in InfraStream is more large releases. So we can allow subgroups in your company to deploy entire bundles of apps across disparate structures. So in InfraStream, you can deploy to SaaSes, VMs, or brownfield assets and Kubernetes asset at the same time. And so because we have that high level of control of your robots, of your infrastructure, we provide you that capability of doing seamless deployment. And then if there's an issue, seamless rollback. And so this capability is highly sought for by bigger corps or even medium corps, because that rapidly becomes the biggest bottleneck. Because the developers can do by themselves fine, let's say 10 or 20 services or 10 or 20 apps. But when it gets to 50, now that we have agents in the picture, a lot more robotic behaviors, it becomes a lot harder to deploy 40 or 50 at a time. And that was one of our objectives with InfraStream. And with the LoRaPS concept is also take care of that slowdown. Because developers, often in bigger corps, they spend more time aligning and verifying. And instead of doing development and making sure that things work well, they have to force align the project owners, they force align to POs. We provide the tooling in InfraStream so that the POs, the release managers, can help the developers manage those releases. And across the spectrum of what InfraStream maintains for that specific client. So we went there and we wanted to have that core capability as opposed to the other groups doing more, we call it internal developer platforms. So we focus on smaller components. Let's say we can have multiple in a company. We didn't want to go that way. We wanted to go bigger corporation. At the scale of your corporation, and anything you want to deploy under what's managed by the robots can be deployed more efficiently. So that includes all the security of it, but that was our big objective, is really help those groups align better, get better visibility, do better cross integration, like you mentioned, between BigQuery, the database, the backups, the security, the DNS, the firewall, the tags. So we want to use a lot of tooling so that your employees are well taken care of in terms of cross integrations, your systems are, or your robots are, and then your clients are as well. Because a lot of groups right now in Agent, they're catering to one of those three, doing well, for example, just employees. I think that's the one that's currently working well in back integrations through all the new agents, but they're having a lot of difficulty with the other two, with systems and the employee and the clients, because usually that takes your infrastructure to manage the other two groups. And what we wanted to provide for InfraStream, the capability to do all three. If we do it because we manage all your service accounts, we manage all the executors, we provide a very efficient way of doing it for systems and also clients. And that's, I think, where we differ a lot from all those other groups, is going systematically for the bigger picture. And when it's integrated, it benefits all the free user groups. Whereas a lot of the others, they tend to go more smaller piece, but usually that leads to how do we cost integrate, how do we manage, how do we deploy, can our humans manage those deployments and all those new security procedures, like we're using SLSAV3, we're using a lot of serverless across a cloud service mesh with new concepts. Developers of infrastructure have a lot of trouble maintaining those because you have to understand the concept, how to do it securely. But if you have a group who just asks you, what do you want to deploy? How do you want to deploy? Where do you want to deploy it? Is it just a serverless? Is it in the mesh? Yes or no? That's it. For the manifest, it's a lot easier for them because then we also do the upfront work of making sure there's no bugs with Google or GitHub and making sure we iron out all of those across all the corporations. Because this is actually the biggest issue is all the big corps roll out their own engineering of a cloud. And this is causing, it's just a lot of wasted effort because they all end up trying to do the same thing and they implement the same patterns and they go through the same bugs across. And that's what's preventing the smaller corps of accessing those engineers to try to do the same thing. And so that's why I think the platform engineering is growing bigger and bigger and bigger year from year, because it's the enabler for the corporations to get more agents. Because the agents at the end of the day are still a workload and they still cater to either your employees or your clients or your systems. And that's what we've been doing for a while. And after doing it for a few digital transformations in multiple verticals, realize that's really the biggest crux of a problem is aligning your big scale infrastructure and trying to align all of those rather than try to align always subpart. So you can do business unit per business unit instead of your entire corp, even with InfraStream. But we do believe that it leads to more issues and a lot of more maintenance if you try to go, for example, half of your business unit in a tool and then all the rest of the business unit elsewhere, you're going to have a lot more issues to operate. So we don't recommend doing splitting half a business unit that way. But I think a lot of people doing digital transformation realize that often doing it from smaller groups at once and maybe a bit more new field or green field. But with InfraStream, we really wanted to provide groups that are even brownfield, having a lot of VMs, having a lot of older school workloads can still migrate onto InfraStream. So it's not just new AI workloads, it's all the previous existing workloads. The only configurations that are a bit harder would be on the Kubernetes side. For security purposes and to allow everything to cross-operate, we don't allow as many core Kubernetes capabilities, but that's because we need to maintain it. And that's pretty much it. So the cross integration is extensive for Google Cloud. It does all the network, all the load balancing, all the IAM, all the backups, all the security, all the logging tracing, all the CloudArmors. So we're doing quite a few things to allow any group from small to medium to large to operate well in Google Cloud after having migrated to our manifest way of maintaining infrastructure.
That's awesome. And I'm sure all of the customers and organizations you serve is going to benefit tremendously from that. Ashley, so thank you so much for joining me today and sharing insights on InfraStream. Before we wrap up, is there anything else you'd like to share with our audience?
I think AIs right now, they're causing often quite a bit more work than people expect. So I would just say be careful when you're integrating AI products. Make sure that it works well for your use cases before getting rid of your employees, because we've seen that quite a bit recently where people need to rehire. So anyone, it is fine to innovate and try to do digital transformations, but make sure you have a reliable way forward and your results are working for your business before getting rid of your employees. Because I think I've seen a lot of use case where people went straight for replacing and they realized it wasn't as working as well after a few cycles for the customers. So make sure that when you're doing digital transformation, make sure that it works well for your business. Otherwise, roll back.
Right. Well, you heard it here first, folks. Pivotal Tech is changing the way that we go about infrastructure, security, and operations. Thank you so much, Ashley, for telling us about InfraStream, Pivotal Tech's latest development that they're working on. If you want to join the wait list or learn more, you can go to their site at pivotal.tech. That is PVOTAL.TECH. Ashley, thank you so much for joining today. And to our listeners, stay curious, stay secure.
You've been listening to Cyber Defense Radio. Stay tuned next time for another amazing and informative episode. CyberDefenseRadio.com is proudly part of the Cyber Defense Media Group, where InfoSec knowledge is power.
Cyber Defense TV and Cyber Defense Radio have launched 24/7/365 live streams. Visit them online today at Cyber Defense TV and Cyber Defense Radio with your host and cybersecurity champion and my good friend, Annabelle Thomas.